tend to be critical. One would criticize their efforts in salmon management, trout management, as being a partial effort. We do a part of the needs for management, but we don't go all the way. In some places we control the predators. In other places we put the fish in and compete with the predator fish. In some instances we develop the seed, as I've been trying to do here at the university. And then we put this in a poor environment. In other instances, we may put them in lakes or ponds that are inadequate food. So I think the way we envision it now is to have the complete environment. We develop extremely good seed, the best that we can. It'll improve with years, like the other seeds have. A seed, that in this case, means seed stocks of brood stocks of Chinook salmon. And then we develop the environment for the young to grow in. Now that I don't mean we'll have lots of concrete ponds rolled up. I think this is a rather wasteful technique. But we'll develop ponds and lakes close to the sea, remove the predators, keep the forms that prey excessively upon the young fish during their freshwater development, and reduce this fantastic mortality that in natural conditions is about 99%. Suppose we reduce it to 40% or survival of 60%. We have 60 times as many fish then. Well, in addition to the predators, one of the limiting factors is food. Well, we've learned through our trace mineral studies how to improve the quality of food production in land and in water. And we can apply this technique to make waters more productive, make lands more productive, or the combination of land and water more productive, so that the health of the fish is improved, the health of the environment, or even the health of the people will be improved. Well, back to fish again. Then these fish can migrate to the sea, make their 99% of their growth in the sea, and return back to this pond or lake, wherever it may be, and then be caught. And I would hope they'd all be caught. Now I realize this is a rather radical statement, that as we normally think, well, you have to have lots of fish escaping for seed. But remember, I mentioned that we have the seed stock at our select station within the state, an example out of the university. And our stock then can be used then to stock these other places. When they come back, we catch them. We actually then produce a resource rather than harvest, under somewhat the law of the jungle hunter, the small surplus that nature may provide. We move in and take control and produce then instead of a harvesting a few that may be excess. And I would envision then that we might have productions of 10 million pounds of Chinook salmon a year. This is a rather fantastic resource.
What is the current production from the Columbia of Chinooks?
The current production of Columbia is about half this figure. Last year, I think 252,000 fish were caught. The figure I've been mentioning in our conversation is somewhere around 600,000 fish.
You mean then that from this 1948, or the fish you tossed in the Portage Bay and...
essentially the two good ones we had in 1952 that threw this good mutant that came in 55. I have every confidence that with proper techniques and sufficient hard work, and it takes lots of this, by 1964, 62, 63, 64, we should be producing somewhere around 9 to 10 million pounds of fine quality food from this original two.
Well, are they already showing up in significant numbers in the fisheries?
Yes, the chaps working for the State Department of Fisheries, our students who are working there, now employees of the State Department of Fisheries, tell us that the marked fish from this one select stock are showing in ever-increasing numbers. Somewhere around 3% of the fishery are coming from these marked fish.
Already?
Yes. Well, I think we sometimes forget that man's efforts in this regard are being meaningful and are rewarding. I realize this is the start of a plan. It may to some seem rather grandiose. If we don't have objectives of this sort, we aren't going to go very far. So I'd rather hitch my fish on a star, more or less, and hope we catch them.
You mentioned the fish farms, lakes that could be used for rearing the fish of the select stock. What size lakes are needed for that?
Well, basically small lakes are more productive, but small lakes are more expensive to operate per unit of production. So we sort of compromise. I think something 20, 30 acres is a good size, but I see no reason why we can't handle something 1,000 acres or 2,000 acres.
Well, 2,000, that's like Lake Ozette?
Yes, that would be something of that order of magnitude. Someone says, why not Lake Washington? Well, there are a lot of complicating factors with Lake Washington. It's possible to use Lake Washington as a gigantic salmon rearing place, but I think it's more probable to use some of the other lakes that are less populated around the edge and less competition for use than Lake Washington, for example.
Now, do you have the financing for carrying on this program?
No. Very frankly, I don't.
Well, where does it come from? The legislature, the sportsmen's groups, or where might you get it?
Well, I think the future is going to have to take care of that, Mr. Morgan. I really feel that matters of conservation, something that's vital to all the people in the state, because I think someone in every family in the state fishes, not all the people fish, but someone out of every family, be interested in fishing for sport. A great number of our people are dependent upon fishing for livelihood as commercial fishermen or renting sports gear. It's a very big industry. But if we keep this pretty close to home, the people that are immediately concerned, we just have a warm feeling about it. And I would hate to see something like this go off to the great White Father. We here in the state of Washington lose the thrill and the real exhilaration that comes from a feeling of accomplishment of something of our own for our own economic benefit and our own enjoyment. I think something that should be very broadly based here with people who are genuinely interested.
Dr. Donaldson, I'd like to ask one other thing about the fish farms. You mentioned the adding of nutrients to the lakes where the fish would be reared. And you are working across the Narrows and down in Kitsap County at Fern Lake on
yes.
a program of this kind, are you not?
Well, this is the lake that's being used for not only the lake, but the whole environment, the whole watershed, Rocky Creek watershed, is being used for a test laboratory on the role that trace minerals play in improving the quality of living things, the productive capacity for trees of the watershed, the environs for deer or for rabbits or for mice. You have to realize that this area is essentially mineral deficient. Your lawn won't grow unless you fertilize it. Your health isn't very good unless you add trace minerals. Maybe you buy vitamin pills or mineral pills and eat them. I think this is rather an admission that we haven't yet applied the known techniques of trace minerals to our food producing areas, both land and water. And so the attempt at Fern Lake is to work out not only the ways of doing this, but the methodology and explore basic concepts. Well, I would envision that a place like Fern Lake could contribute fantastically to the production of fish, the growth of trees, the number of animals that can live on the land, and to the health of the people. For here, we're generally applying the techniques and the skills of the radiation biologist, the chemist, the physicist, developed by the gigantic atomic energy program, to living processes.
Well, how does the atomic energy program fit into this? What are you doing with atomic energy?
Well, we use tagged elements. That is, atomic energy means radiation, essentially, and if you wish to study the uptake of iodine in a natural environment? It's very simple to use a tagged iodine, iodine-131. If you have a tagged atom of iodine-131, this is a radioactive form, you can always recognize it. Now, we use very, very small amounts. Our instruments are so sensitive that they can detect the last single atom, amounts that are of no concern in health, but are perfectly adequate for our study techniques. So we go along using these tools of the chemist, the physicist, but specifically applying them to living things, to biological applications. And I think in the national effort, this is an extremely valuable program. To learn to live with atomic energy is one of the real challenges of the 20th century.
And the implications of this program, I mean, what it can lead to then are not simply more knowledge about how to increase the number of fish in a lake, but it could have beneficial results for the health not only of fish and trees, but of people?
Yes, I'm quite sure that we're concerned about all living things. And of course, the end product in all of our thinking are people. The end products are people. The health of people is extremely important. For as we live longer and live more compactly together, more of us together, we just have to do a better job of balancing out our nutritional needs. And I envision the best way to do this is on an environmental basis rather than on a pill basis. I sort of shudder when we have to resort to taking a pill for this and a pill for that, as I would much rather see our whole ecology, if you wish, the whole environment around about, improved in quality so that we have food not only quantity but quality. And there's a vast difference. An atom or two of an element deficient, and we may have a quantity of food but don't have a quality of food. And unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, humans have very specific requirements. So do fish. Fish are a little bit more fortunate than we are. They can soak it up out of their environment. We have to eat it and then soak it out of our food. But fish can simply swim through salt, for example, and absorb the salt and use it. They can swim in water that has iodine in it and absorb the iodine and use it. And the same with cobalt or manganese or zinc, a number of elements. They have this fantastic ability. But if the element isn't there that the fish need for their growth, then they simply grow poorly or they die. In the case of the salmon, they go out and sea and get it. And maybe that's why salmon migrate to sea, because they have to go to the sea to get the basic elements that they need for completing their lifespan.
Well, thanks a lot, Dr. Donaldson. This has been extremely interesting. Thanks for being with us this morning.